You, Lord. Well, this is Sunday morning, 1/24/21. Thank God we're nearly through January. Looking for better days. The best is yet to come. I'm going to start with the teaching this morning, but there's a lot of more prophecy in this teaching than normal, but this is the way the Lord wanted it today. The title of this is Learning to Flow in the Supernatural, but the title is The Kingdom of God is Here. It's not something we're waiting to happen. It's something that's already here. I mean, it's Jesus brought in the kingdom of God. But we're walking into a higher realm of it. Could say that. The kingdom of God is here, the Lord says. I'm not in the old system, the world system. It is passing away. You know, he's had to work with men because we have been for hundreds and hundreds of years been infiltrated in our own culture, not even knowing it. Those who hold on to the old ways will not partake of the new ways, the kingdom ways. Sides have been chosen. They would be much like the children of Israel. They wandered around in circles and eventually died. They could not go in with Joshua's and Caleb's. It would again cause a double standard. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. So God said, before they go in to take the land, you're going to die off first. You know, isn't that kind of classic, kind of what the president has said? Well, I don't know if he said that or not, but what Q posts indicate is that the whole purpose of all of this has been to wake people up because we need to bring them all along. I think that's what the Lord's saying here. Those that embrace the ways of the kingdom, this new age, will be on a different timeline. Here, timelines are coming up again. They will reap the benefits of the kingdom, no more delays. Not standing for years and years and years and years and years and speaking and speaking and speaking. Evil has prevented things from coming. Much like Daniel when the angel told him that his prayer was delayed because of an evil angel. We're going to look at that in Daniel. Let's Daniel chapter 10. There was a principality, a power over Babylon that prevented Daniel's prayer from breaking through. But those principalities and power still there? They are if we hadn't pulled them down. Daniel 10:10. And behold, an angel touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So he sent his word and healed. He sent his word. We send angels on assignment. When we speak those words, angels immediately go to work to bring the answer. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. See, as I was doing this, it's like, you know, I've had this before, and I've brought it before about the atmosphere. And even what Mike Thompson had way back talking about, you know, he was in the third heaven and he was looking down and the Lord would tell him to do something and he would speak it and the angel would go whoom down to take out this stronghold. But then two or three would raise up after that one came down and he said, Lord, what is this? I'm speaking, I'm doing everything I know to do, but this, what's causing that? He said, the negativity of men. The mouths of men. their thinking processes and what they speak? What would have kept Joshua and Caleb from going in? Their negativity. They had to go. God saw they were not going to follow him. They were not going to go in. They weren't going to obey him. They weren't going to advance the kingdom forward. Canaan land was their kingdom. Do you understand that? They were not going to. So God said, because I dealt with you 10 times and you refused, you're going to die out. The kingdom of God has been held back because of this, just like it was in that day. They had to wait till they all died out. Does that seem insensitive and cold today? Well, no, God did it. He allowed it to happen because he wanted Joshua and Caleb to go in and take the land. And it says Joshua took the whole land. Caleb at 85 says, give me that hill with that giant on it. You see the difference? Well, you know, I can't do that. I'm 65, and you know how that is. We got to get on the AARP and get every senior discount in town, and we got to sell everything because we don't have no money. We're on this little fixed income, and all we can do is just we're limited. This is life. About the only thrill they have is maybe they move where their grandkids are and hang on their kids to have a little life. Sounds like hell to me. Like the frog in the kettle. All right. You have asked why even the prophets have not discerned these times. The doctrines of men nullify the word of God. Men want their timelines and things must line up with what they want or they will not believe if it doesn't fit into their narrative. I move in my timeline and what will be eventually. Joshua and Caleb had to wait 40 years, but they were ready to go in that day and take the land. Why? The negative mindsets and words of men hindered them from going in. And he had faith to make the sun stand still. Even now you can observe those that have chosen the kingdom way and you will see the fruit. They are definitely living on a different timeline than most of mankind. Because you have chosen correctly, you are in that timeline. Those who will not move on because of their doctrines or indoctrination will eventually live out their lives and die. Some will never believe unless they see a sign. Wouldn't it make sense to follow those that the Lord has made rich? You'd think we'd have thousands of people out there beating on the door to get in today saying, we see the fruit. We want some of that. Instead, they point the finger at them and accuse them of stealing the money from the people. And this is what's happened to the ones that rise above it, like the Copelands. They got investigated by Grassley and other ministries that walk by faith. I know Joyce Meyer was another of them. They targeted them to try to take them down because they couldn't understand how they could have that kind of money. I've even heard a prophet. I mean, he's well known and he's pretty harsh. Criticizing Joyce Meyer because she paid $20,000 for a toilet. Just for a toilet. And I thought, it's her money. If she wants a $20,000 toilet, let her have a $20,000 toilet. What's that to you? What business is it of yours? See, that's that old mentality. Yeah, these prosperity preachers. Well, you know, God don't have any other kind. He don't have anything but prosperity teachers because he don't live in no shack. He don't promote that. He's not the welfare God. Okay, let me see where I left off. All right. It says, the Lord said, pay no attention to them. You know, a lot of them, they have some right, but not everybody has everything right. Let's just get that straight this morning. We're doing the best we know how. And I know that prophet I spoke of, he's done a lot of good for the body of Christ, and he has a lot of knowledge, a lot of truth. But he also, you know, some people, you can follow their faith, but not their doctrine. You know what I'm saying? As you will move into timelines that you never dreamed possible, in the spirit, supernatural overrides natural. Philip translated. Prime example, Jesus walked on water. Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, and he's at the shore all of a sudden. These are supernatural transfers in time. I've told the story of Jesse Duplantis talking about he's in the car, and then all of a sudden he ends up in another city. He's got a time lapse that he doesn't really remember. He just remembers a cloud came into his car, and then he knew it, he was in another place that he couldn't possibly be there. Different timeline. Now you can understand why some people are not able to connect with you. They are totally on totally different timelines. They had a choice, the higher life, or struggled in their logic in the lower life. See, the lower life is the life, a lot of people call it the third dimension, that we've got to rise at least to the fifth dimension, which I don't know. I know what they're talking about. They're talking about coming out of these mindsets and coming up and getting, in other words, you're in the forest and you can't see anything. It's dark. And you get up out of that and you begin to see things the way they really are. And that's what they're talking about there. All right, let me say that again. They had a choice, the higher life or struggle in their logic. Having to have an answer for everything. Having to question everything. We ain't going to do this, Lord. When, God, when? Why, God, why? They live there. Where do you live? Why? It's constant. Why? When? If I don't see it, I don't believe it. I don't believe that. You've been around people like that? Everything. You know, there's going to be some place in time you just have to trust. And we're in a place right now that we're having to trust the plan. It's unfolding and it's all good. By the time I get through this morning, you're going to be going, yes. See, that's the only life God has is higher life. We're not low lives. Jesus paid for this, our life, with his own blood, his own body. All he has is the higher life. That's the kingdom. Kings, kids. Kingdom ways. Just think about it. The monarchy. We're kings and priests unto God. I have so much I want to show you and bless you with. Continue to move with me and not be moved by what you are seeing. As I've told you before, it is all an illusion. What I see is not reality, but only what I believe. If you look at it, it will cause you confusion. This is Satan's narrative. This is what he's been doing since the man and the woman in the garden. This is not the way of the kingdom. Peace makes the call here. Peace makes the call. Safe. Umpire makes the call. Peace makes the call. Peace is the umpire. All right, Isaiah 26:3. Let these words pull you up today. Let these words pull you up. That's what God's word does. 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He doesn't run out of strength right here. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So if you've got your hope in the Lord, and you're looking to him, That peace will carry you through. No looking back. Move forward. This is your Red Sea moment. Just move right on through. Just let them do whatever they're going to do. Hello. I'm a moving through. I'm inheriting. I see you. I never see you again. Bye. I'm going. I'm on a different timeline. I'm not with that bunch. Oh, we're going to do it. China's going to move in. We're going to all go into concentration camps. Oh, we're at forced vaccinations. There's one guy that I really like to listen to. He makes really good videos, but he has been so negative, I just quit listening to him. Well, yesterday I turned him on and he was just the opposite. Something had happened to him and he was back on track. I was so glad to see it. So glad to hear it because he's a precious Christian. Has a lot, you know. So I was glad to see that. But just for days, it was just like, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. That type of thing. And I'm thinking, I'm not listening to that. See, that's that other timeline. Many cannot see the forest for the trees. Everything they say they are waiting for is already happening right before their eyes, but they cannot see it. I have a remnant, though, a Gideon army, if you will. They are fully awake and they see clearly. They're rightly discerning the times. When I was here, John declared that the kingdom was here. Not many mighty in my day are in yours either. The old guard is passing away in the church and in the nation. The new guard are ready and waiting to step up, for they have been well trained like you for this time, and they will fill in those positions. I hope, like Tony Cook said, that the old guard will move out of the way and assist the new guard, or they'll have to be taken out. He said, lest they lose their reward, because if they continue on in their old ways, they'll lose their reward. So God will have to take them out. Don't be sad over those you thought would come along. Just leave them to me. I will connect you with like-minded, kingdom-minded people that will help you. Just beware of those that say one thing and do another, for you will know them by their fruit. At this critical hour, they have shown themselves for who they truly are. We see this right now with what the president has gone through. He made a statement way back, be careful what you say lest you get it. He made a statement that probably 20 years ago that I'd kind of like to lose everything to kind of see who's really my friend and who isn't. And this is what we've seen. Who's really on my side when I'm down and out? Who really comes to my aid and who doesn't? But I'll tell you what, by the time this is over, everybody's going to be saying, we want Trump back! Even the Democrats! We won't drop. Okay, let me pick up where I left off here. All right, for you will know them by their fruit. At this critical hour, they have shown themselves for who they truly are. Now, you know why we've gone through this process. Wolves in sheep's clothing, saying what they think you want them to hear. Or what you want to hear. They are placed there to deceive even the very elect. Scripture says that, if possible. I thought of Brother Hagin when those men wanted to finance him there in Oklahoma. Their motive was wrong, and God showed him that. And he didn't just follow in and think, oh, wow, you know, they just want to set me up and everything. Well, they want to steal his stuff. Mm-hmm. Watch and see. Observe what I'm telling you. See who is left standing and who is not. It is becoming clearer every day. I told you some years ago not to be surprised after the shaking who would fall. That day, that great and terrible day of the Lord has arrived. Great and terrible, deciding which camp you're in. Great for his kids, bad for those who've chosen wrongly. I heard something yesterday. It was Mel Kay. And she's very, very, to be so young, she really knows her stuff about everything that's going on. She does lots of research. She said something, and it brought the dream back to me, the one I had of D.C., and I was in the underground, they have tunnels all under D.C. I was underground, and the buildings were shaking, the dust, so I could you know. And she said, they'll probably just bulldoze D.C. They'll probably just bulldoze D.C. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be, I think they're going to blast it to hell, is what I think. I think that's what they'll do. But same difference. That's why it's fenced off. It's foreign soil. But aside from that, it's nothing but one big demonic symbol. And that's one of the confessions, that every demonic symbol across this land, all of it. I heard someone talking about Lady Liberty yesterday, that's really Aphrodite, the sex goddess, and it's about all kinds of sexual perversion. It was given to us by the French, like the Statue of Liberty, and they're all demonic. They're all symbols of something that's not good, to worship a gods, these demon entities. Whatever they call themselves, the Bible calls her the Queen of Heaven. Paul talked about that. They worship the Queen of Heaven. So this whole city's been dedicated to worship Satan. So it's got to go. Unfortunately, many in my body will never see the day of the Lord come, for it comes not with observation. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Their indoctrination will not permit them to see clearly. Talking about people. How they've been raised and indoctrinated in churches, and you think it hasn't happened, you're deluded. Because it has. It's been a plot and a plan all along. I want to show you something right quick. I was going to say this to the end, but I'll just show it now. Come out of her, my people. Your church denomination is a false religion. Man-made religions. John Smith, Charles Parham, Joseph Smith, Charles T. Russell, William Miller. Right here, anyone still in a church denomination needs to come out of her, meaning come out of Babylon and that worship. God is calling his people to pull out of these man-made religions. Staying in them is destruction for your souls. Pray and seek God for his truths. That's what's happening, people. The swamp is coming down, and the church is part of the swamp. It's coming down. That's why the Lord said, don't be surprised who falls or who stands. All right, Matthew 25. See, Babylon is the whore. Babylon is the false religion. False religion. The false prophet, false religious system. That's why the first bunch we had committed high treason. Because the Lord had me right up start talking about, food. And they thought I was a lunatic. You know why? Because they were indoctrinated. They're ingrained in the system. And you know, I heard someone say this, we need to red pill people gently, because what happens when somebody shines a bright light on you and you've been in a dark room? But if you just a little bit, get them to thinking. Don't tell them anything. Just drop a few little nuggets to get them to thinking about themselves and maybe going and doing a little research themselves. I checked into that. You're right. It's really a good thing, and I encourage you in this, and it's not hard, instead of depending on everybody else to tell you what to do. If you hear something, go check it out. Go get documentation. And then when somebody asks you something, say, I got the document right here. I can read it to you. Or you can get on soandso.gov or whatever, and you can read this. You can't refute that. But if it's your opinion, or they think it's your opinion, they'll argue with you and all that kind of stuff. You don't gain any ground. To me, it would be a lot better, and that's what Q was about. Q was about asking you questions to get you to question some things. So you started searching out the matter yourself. Isn't that a scripture that talks about he that searches out a matter? If you make an opinion before you search out a matter, you're foolish. So God expects us to do our own research and not just depend on one person. You know, because like I said, nobody knows everything, but maybe a few in the Q team that I know of. And so the intel that people are getting, they may be all right, but they're not always all getting the same thing. They're getting a piece here and a piece there and a piece there. So it's like a puzzle. And you get another piece and the picture, you know, after a while it starts to form a picture. You're going, I see what's going on here. That's the waking up. And it's done. When you start doing it yourself, it's a lot easier than trying to tell somebody that just is so hard-headed and so set in their ways. You just go, ugh. That's why we need to know some facts about some things, because you can spout stuff at people and they're going, huh? But if you direct them, well, you know, go look this up and then get back with me. Or, you know, if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them, you know, whatever. I don't know everything, but I'll try to help you. Okay. See, that way you keep the door open instead of them cutting you off at your, you're one of them conspiracy theorists. All right, Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, or five were wise, five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. See, they're the ones that didn't research. They weren't prepared. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them which sell, buy for yourselves. In other words, go check it out yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and them that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. See, that's been the biggest thing about the church, and I was part of that, where I didn't pay attention to politics. The whole 8 years Obama was in office, I didn't watch anything he was on. I might have prayed once or twice, but I couldn't even look at him, much less anything else. And same way with Clinton. So I just ignored it, didn't pay any attention to it. Until the Lord started getting my attention about, well, how are you going to be effective if you don't even know what's going on and where you live and what's your world and what's happening? See, I think that's been the biggest mistake, because there's no separation between church and state. They're supposed to be working together. It ought to be the spiritual advisors advising the king or the president or whatever. All right, locked out because of their indoctrination. Here's what Webster says indoctrinate is: to instruct, especially in fundamentals or rudiments. In other words, you teach. They were talking about the television, that at first they used the television to try to get people to buy stuff. See, when you see stuff, something on TV, it makes you want to go out and buy it. And it advanced from there. It's indoctrination. And it also, what I was reading, it brought out, kind of like what the Lord showed me, not tell lie vision, but tell a vision. Their vision, we want you to buy our stuff, you know, or whatever else they project. All right, to imbue with an unusual partisan or sectarian opinion, a point of view or principle. So we're getting into it now. It's a narrative. New World Order. And all the things, all the many intricate tentacles that is, you know, through commercials and through programming and all that, movies. All right, the Holy Ghost is the teacher of the church, not seminaries. Why has this happened? Men have not obeyed my word, is what the Lord said. They got away from my word onto opinions of men. So I say, be careful when you read a book. Let the Lord lead you to read books. I do. I let the Lord quicken to me something before I'll just pick it up and read it, because I don't want to go down the line. Now, the only person that he's ever told me to that I could look to occasionally when I had a question would be was Brother Hagin. Now, we know Brother Hagin wasn't after the money. Not at all. I remember one time he asked for $2. If every one of my partners could just give $2. And that was when Raymo was struggling or something. But that's the only time in all those years that I ever heard Brother Hagin say anything like that. And I will say, there's been a few ministries that have called me, not asking for money. They were asking, can we pray with you about anything? We just want you to know that we're available for you. We're here for you. A few. Most of it's, I'm Jimmy, gimme, I'll take all you gimme. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but that's really what it is. I mean, I still get stuff from ministries I've cut off years ago. Thinking, well, if you keep all these envelopes you're wasting, you might, you know, get counted as a donation. Anyway. Okay. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is what God, we have not obeyed his word in this area. We have, but a lot have not. Most have not. Most would say, huh? What does that mean? Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. They go to seminary to try to find out what God wants them to do. No, he said to do this. Be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, after you do that, God may say, go to a seminary. You see the difference? Instead of, well, I'm going to go to a seminary so I can see what I want to do. That's the problem with college. They go, they rack up $500,000 in bills, change their major two or three times, come out lost as a goose in a snowstorm, indoctrinated. Still don't know what they want to do with all these massive debt. When, if they just renewed their mind and waited on God, he would have said, okay, this is what I want you to do. Go here and get further training or whatever you need to do. Do you see the difference? But no, you know, Brother Sonzo, that's his school, man. Uh-huh. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. Am I speaking the truth here today? Doctrines of men have infiltrated instead of my word. They all raised up their colleges and Bible schools and all of the... If the Lord says go there, great. But don't we have to qualify first and make sure he said yes, go there? Then you can go in faith and know it's the will of God and it's great. I'm not saying all seminaries are bad. But what is this all about? Learning to flow in the supernatural. Learning to follow God in his plan. A lot of the mistakes we've made in life is because we just did something. Instead of getting before the Lord and saying, Lord, what would you have me do about this? And wait long enough to get the answer. And then once he says, well, I want you to do this. Okay, Lord, how am I supposed to do that? Instead of jumping out then and trying all these things, trying to obey God's will. Years ago, Mike Murdoch said that. He said, get his plan, or get his, hear his command, but wait for the plan. He has a way to do it. And whenever he has a way, he finances the way. He has stuff prepared for the way. Okay, Mark 7. Verse 8. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. Now get that. By laying aside the commandment of God. Isn't that getting his plan, his command, hearing his command? Getting his plan? For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and much like things ye do. And I'm going to say something. I need to be careful concerning father and mother. That's like saying, I know I should give to father and mother, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to give to this one and do for that one. Forgetting, thinking, just like he said, it puts aside, right here. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Even church tradition can get you from what is you should be doing to another thing that looks noble and good, forsaking what God's command said. Just think about that. All right, verse 14 here. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There's nothing from without a man. That's wrong. Why did I do that? Hold on. Oh, no, I'm right. Okay. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the temple, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So what's he saying here? These mindsets keep people from doing the right thing. Keeps them from obeying God. God may have told them to do something, but they are, their mindsets, their thinking processes are wrong. And it's going to keep them from getting what they want initially. In other words, they reason. That's just like what I said here. What Jesus was saying right here about your father and your mother. Well, I'm not going to give my father and mother. I've decided I'm going to give to, there's a poor neighbor down the street, you know, and their car's broken down. So we're going to, you know, fix up their car, do this stuff. And so, you know, you don't give to your father and mother. Come on. This is happening all over. The elderly in our country, the unborn, and the little children and the elderly are the ones that have been forsaken and forgotten in this country. And there's not any, most other countries in the world take care of their elderly. That's some of the confessions that I make. It's like, you know, That's what a lot of the COVID stuff was, and all these wicked ones moving COVID patients or whatever they had, infecting them with stuff and putting them with elderly to kill them off because they're a burden on society. No, God says you're to honor father and mother. That was the way that you honored God. See, so they've got it upside down. One of my confessions is my kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, they don't sponge off of their seniors anymore. They take care of their seniors. They fall all over themselves to do stuff for Nana and Poppy. That's my confession. Not that we even need it, but it's the attitude that's got to change in this nation. Okay, for whatever purpose, the Lord needed that to come out. It has been handed down from generation to generation this way. They have not embraced me, but men and their ways. It has caused them to merchandise the gospel. Here's what merchandise is. The occupation of a merchant or trade. The commodities are goods that are bought and sold in business like wares. I'm telling you, most programs that I even pass across, it's a begging for money. There's more about the money and we need the donations and, you know, all this than truly the message. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. I'm telling you how to flow in the Holy Spirit this morning. The priorities that we ought to be keeping. What we ought to be doing. Renewing our mind. Getting God's will. Find out His plan. Moving His time. Do what He says do. Don't step out independently. That's how others have become compromised. Just doing whatever they thought was best, because that's what we always done. That's what the old people did, all the old, you know, revival people and all of that. They passed it down from generation to generation, and the church thinks this is the way it is. If you don't believe it, just go talk to a few of them. They're completely indoctrinated. Babylon is in the church too. For the love of money is the root to all evil. They have merchandised my word. Men follow their word and not mine. They push their book, not my book. They glory in men, not in me. They did it in my day too. Matthew 23. I wondered why I just never seemed to be able to make it in the system as far as a woman minister. And the Lord said to me, and I may have even written it down on here, He said to me, I didn't want you trained in Babylon. I want you trained under my way. That's the Bible way, Paul's way, Joseph's way, Jesus' way. Backside of the desert. That's God's way of training His people. He don't need some cemetery to do that, unless He leads it, of course. All right, Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude, to His disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, I forgot Moses, and all therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, they observe and do, but do ye not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Sounds like the Democrats, doesn't it? They live in their walled-off mansions while they want to open the borders and flood illegals to come in and kill you, take your stuff. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. and loved the uppermost rooms of at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. I remember getting on a website, it's been a year or so ago, and it was this this prophet that I'd heard of, this woman. And before you know it, she's telling you, well, if you don't line up with this, you don't qualify here and all this. I'm thinking, well, then you don't belong here, period. It kind of set me aback. I thought, don't want nothing to that. I come out of that. I don't need that. You know, God qualifies you, not some so-called prophet. God qualifies you. And that means me too. God qualifies you. And greetings in the markets and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi. We've got to quit being religious if we're going to follow God. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Haven't you been around those ministers before that are just so humble? And they're just there to serve. They're just there to help you any way they can. Just sweet. Just got a sweet spirit about them. There are some. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make a long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whatever is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso sweareth by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat, swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. I'm telling you, I'm watching closely those who have told the president you needed to concede. And there's some big names. And they're not just mainline denominations either. I'm thinking, woo, 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 we're seeing who the true ones are by this kind of thing. He's to succeed to a criminal? I just want to get on TV and say, don't listen to a thing, either one of these two that I heard. Don't listen to a thing they say. Well, there's been three of them, actually, that I heard myself. Thinking, dear God in heaven. He cheated. Yeah, I know. He's got a lot of, but that's just one of the things he's done. He cheated. And the president is supposed to say, well, come on in. Yeah. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Boy, we have seen it rampant just in the last few weeks. The swamp creatures are coming out, even the ones that pretend to be something else. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them that killed the prophets. fill ye up with the measure of your father, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? There'll be no escape, and nothing can stop what's coming. That wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. When I was getting my nails done, the girl that does my nails, she was talking about, she's been following our new mayor, and that he's being treated like Donald Trump because he is trying to make Odessa a sanctuary city for the unborn, and he's also against the mask mandate and wants to make some changes. He's bringing out some illegal things that last mayor did, and he's getting treated just like Donald Trump. Ostracized. That upon you may become all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Yeah, I can remember. I don't remember what king it was. He had the prophet come in and say, I don't like him. I think it was, seemed like it was Jehoshaphat, had to be Ahab. Whatever prophet it was, he said, I think it was Micaiah. He said, I don't like him. He never prophesies anything good for me. But anyway, he called him over there and he said, okay. And Micaiah said, oh, you know, be well and prosper, all be well. He said, I've told you to prophesy me the truth. He said, okay, if you do this, you're going to die. Then he throws him in jail. And he died. He pursued it, and he died. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They did it to Jesus. It says, I don't know where, but if they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. All right, let's go to Matthew 21, just a couple of scriptures over here. Verse 12. Is that 21? And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers, the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. So you certainly see it there. You see something good happening and you're jealous instead of being happy. Just had a thought, will Jesus be cleansed in the temple through the arrest, possibly? There's more than one way to skin a cat, I guess. They succumb to Satan's temptation. They succumbed to Satan's temptation. Same thing happened to Jesus in Luke chapter 4. He offered him all the kingdoms of the world if he'd fall down and worship him. Jesus refused. Okay. Satan always adds to my word to entice men, but no longer. Revelation chapter 11. Y'all ought to know this one pretty good because we've read it so many times. I'm not going to read it. I'll just skim through it right quick. This is the coming down. What it's talking about is the angel is measuring the temple. It says it's been trodden under by the Gentiles. Then the enemy comes and we see the two symbols of the church. are dead in the street, and then all of a sudden they raise up. And that's what's happening right now. And then in the last part of it, it talks about the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our God, and he shall reign forever. The church is being judged. The swamp of the church is being judged. The dead church is raising up. And the kingdoms of this world will now become the kingdoms of this God, of our God. This is how Satan has infiltrated the church. It has become a swamp. It has been weighed and measured. In the kingdom I rule, my ways are the standard. Keep your mind renewed with my word and let me lead you to the opinion. Let me lead you. When men say things, let the Lord speak to you about what they say. That's a good way to do it. The whole church world says it's not time. It's not time. It's because they read men's words and not mine. Well, you know, Hilton Sutton said this, and Marilyn Hickey said this, and Charles Capp said that, but what did the Lord say? We would be hearing what the Lord says. They didn't discern my time, and those in your day are also not discerning my time. And it could be, if they're old guard, they're not even supposed to discern the time. If their time is over, possible. And Jesus said he wept over the city. He said he sees your tears. He sees you weep for people because you want them to get it. Some will and some won't. That's just the hard, cold facts that we have to face today. Some will and some won't. All right, I think that's going to be all of that.